There's a saying, when the wolf comes in the door, love creeps out the window. Hi, I'm Rob West. Money problems are always listed among the top reasons that couples divorce. It's all the more tragic because money problems are fixable. Rachel McDonough joins us today with a three-step approach to better money and marriage. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's great to have Rachel McDonough with us again. She's a certified financial planner, certified kingdom advisor, and a frequent contributor here at Faith and Finance. Rachel, great to have you back.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Rachel, you've advised a lot of couples about their finances, and that's, of course, given you some insights into the marriage relationship. And so I'm really excited to dive into some things that you've learned today. Where would you like to begin?
Yeah, well, I think just stating the obvious, right? When we say I do, and we come to the altar and we make an agreement and a covenant with the Lord and to one another, we wish that we got the same brain magically, that God would somehow help us think the same way as this person whom we've married. But that is not the way that it works. We have husbands and wives with different priorities, different values sometimes, and that can lead to, you know, tragically, even decades of frustration when both spouses truly desire to have unity and to get on the same page and have traction and make progress together on goals. But it's easier said than done, isn't it?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And I think it was the late Larry Burkett that would often say that if we were the same, one of us would be unnecessary. And so we are two different people coming to the equation. But God's heart is that unity that you described. I know this was challenging for Julie and I, especially early in our marriage. And this is a bit personal for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd love to just share a personal story. And I have my husband's permission to share this. So, but when we first married, I remember his mail started coming to our house and I saw an overdraft notice from his bank. And of course, I lost it because I was meticulous in the way that I was managing my finances.
Sure.
But what I learned in our marriage and even just about myself was that, wow, I could really be controlling and uncompromising. And it wasn't all, you know, like both of us had things to work on. It wasn't just my husband's lackadaisical approach to managing his bank account. It was really both of us had a tremendous amount of growth to do. And so we see this all the time with other couples as well, especially those who are starting out in their marriage where, you know, one spouse might be more skilled at managing and take more control or have more dominance. And the other spouse might be tempted to just be more passive or kind of stick their head in the sand. And really, it's about kind of both spouses making some compromise and having personal growth.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And it can be really challenging. And I know that you've worked with and counseled hundreds of couples through their money challenges. And you've got some solutions for that. In fact, there's a three-step solution that you'd like to unpack today. Give us just a preview of what's coming. And then after the break, we'll dive deep into these.
Yep, that sounds good. So first step is really understanding each other's personal values. And then those values, of course, lead to step two, which is figuring out what the priorities are for the family. Priorities come from our values. And then step three is taking all of that behind the scenes deep work of knowing your values and priorities and really turning it into an actionable plan.
That is so good. And when we do that, we can get on the same page. And, you know, I think we can even get to a place where a budget, a spending plan becomes an instrument of peace. And we can both be reflected in the plan. Because if God has wired us differently, there's different priorities there that are ultimately driving toward the same outcome. But we can each be reflected in that plan, I think, in our own unique way. But the goal is driving toward that unity and oneness I know that we all desire. Well, Rachel, I'm looking forward to continuing to unpack this right around the corner as we talk about money and marriage. It doesn't have to be a source of frustration and conflict. conflict. It can actually drive you toward what God has for you as a married couple. Rachel McDonough here today. She's a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor. And we're talking money and marriage. A lot more to come just around the corner. We'll, of course, take your questions as well ahead. 800-525-7000. And if you prefer not to call, keep in mind, you can always send us an email at askrob@faithfi.com. We'll be right back after this break.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Gossip is a big problem. Unlike other categories of sin in the church, this one gets tolerated and sometimes even baptized in our eyes. Don't believe me? Well, next time you attend a prayer meeting, keep an ear out for prayer requests that provide a bit too much information about other people and their problems. Exodus 20, verse 16 says, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." And that's not only about lying, it's also about protecting the names and reputations of your neighbors. The world might slander other people and drag them through the mud, but the church never should. What would it look like today for you and me to only speak of others with great care, for their names to be safe on our lips? Grow in your walk with Christ with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. We're talking about money and marriage, specifically a three-step approach to help you deal with money and marriage in a way that's God-honoring and drives you toward unity as a married couple. With me today, my friend Rachel McDonough. She's a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor. She joins us frequently on this broadcast. And Rachel, I'm so excited about this topic because we hear from so many couples who are struggling to get on the same page and find God's heart as a married couple in this area of money. And I know you said you've got a three-step plan, the first of which is to identify each spouse's personal values. I think this is so often a missed step in managing money as a married couple. So unpack this for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So our personal values, I kind of think of it as, you know, we're all created in God's image, but we have different fingerprints of God in our lives, right? Ephesians 3:10 says that it was God's intention through the church that his manifold wisdom would be made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. And that word manifold means multifaceted or multidimensional. Mm. And I think the way that God imprints his nature onto each person uniquely, it shows up in our personal values.
Yeah.
You know, one person might have the personal value of generosity, and that reflects God's generous heart. But God is also lots of other things besides generous, right? Like he wants to be the builder of all things. So we see that sometimes showing up with people who have the value of creativity. And so getting to have each spouse articulate what their personal values are, not surprisingly, they will probably have several core values that are the same. And that's what drew them to one another in the first place. But then they'll also likely discover, in most cases, there are some unique values that are unique to each individual. And the beauty and the blessing of unity in marriage comes when we learn how to honor our differences and then pull together and celebrate the places where we're similar or have unity already.
Rachel, what does that look like practically for couples to basically take an inventory of their values and get that on the table?
So there are several values inventory type of exercises that you can use online or through a deck of cards, and just take the time to get to know yourself and get to know each other. And again, looking for those overlap areas and the areas of individuality.
I think that is so important. All right, Rachel, I know you said step two was to make a list of financial priorities of both spouses. What does that look like?
Yeah, so the values really determine the priorities, and taking time to list out the specific things. I mean, you might think of these as financial goals, but sometimes they can be even non-financial things. Like maybe one spouse has the goal of health and they notice that the more that they're working, they have a really stressful job, it's actually affecting their health. There may be some financial decision-making that happens with that goal of getting healthy again. Maybe it means working less. But getting a list of priorities and what's important to each spouse, and then learning how to compromise and work together to ensure that resources are being allocated equitably across the priorities, the things that are important to both spouses, leads to a lot of unity and agreement.
Yeah. So I'm seeing communication being key to both of these. And I'm not surprised, because it seems like when we talk about marriage, communication is always at the center of everything. All right. Take us into step three for better money in marriage.
All right. Step three is where the rubber meets the road. This is really implementing. How are we going to manage actual dollar amounts? Where are they going to go? What are the deadlines? And as we manage resources effectively, what it does is it operationalizes the family's values and takes them from being these abstract concepts that may be ambiguous into really specific actions that carve out a pathway for that family to move forward with intention. And when both spouses participate in the formation of that plan, we also have the opportunity for that type A spouse who likes to make a list and check things off to really shine in their skill set, to say, okay, we've agreed together. We've taken the time and done the hard work of coming into agreement. Now I can take the list and run with it and check things off.
Yeah. And let me just take a wild guess here. That type A checklist person, that's you, right?
Guilty as charged.
I love it. Well, I know you all just celebrated your 20th anniversary, so a big congratulations from all of us here, Rachel. But now that you and your husband have been working at this for a long time, what's working today and what are you still working through?
Yeah, I want to take a moment to just celebrate the progress that we've made, because it's been hard work for 20 years. And Chris has been an amazing partner and has had a lot of patience with me. But one of the things that happened just a couple of days ago, I had been in prayer and had a really strong nudge from the Lord. I felt really strongly that we should actually do something kind of radical in our generosity. And it was something that I would not recommend as financial advice to my clients. Like, it was a little bit radical, right?
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, how am I going to bring this up to Chris in a way where, you know, I can give him time to think about it and get on the same page? And something really cool happened. I just mentioned it to him in passing, and it took him like 2 seconds to say, I think we should do that. I think that's what God would have us do. But it doesn't always happen that fast where we get on the same page with each other. Yeah. But the way that it happened, it wasn't actually a 2-second decision to be in Unity. It actually has been a 20-year process of figuring out how to get into Unity so that when those moments come up, we can now operate together knowing that we want to be respectful to each other, that he knows that I'm not going to be dominant and try to push my way through and get him to do what I want him to do. And he knows my heart, even though we've had some history to work through and some healing to go through together.
Mm. Rachel, what counsel would you give to somebody listening today? Perhaps it's a wife who has that same desire and gift of giving and wants to do more, and her husband is not on the same page. It didn't take 2 seconds for him to say, you know what, I'm in. How would you help her navigate that?
Yeah, two things. So first of all, I would say Ephesians 5:21, we were given the admonition to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we can't be reverent to Christ if we're in rebellion or acting without our spouse's agreement or trying to be sneaky and give behind the scenes.
Yeah.
We need to do the hard work of getting into unity. And secondly, I would say pray, because if it is God's will for you to release resources to his kingdom, it is not impossible for him to persuade your spouse that that's a good idea. And it is way more effective, I have learned as a spouse, to say, well, I'm going to just back off, get in my prayer room, have a conversation with the Lord. And if it's his will, ask him to change my husband's heart instead of me feeling like I have to take the bull by the horns and wrestle this one to the ground and make it happen. It's really, if it's for his kingdom, he has the ability to speak to my spouse.
Wow, that's so powerful, Rachel, and so practical, because I think that's where a lot of our listeners find themselves today. They don't feel like they have one heart and that unity that God desires in their marriage, and I think you've given us some real practical handles to be able to lean into that and hopefully see things much different in the future. Thanks for stopping by today. We always appreciate our time with you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Rachel McDonough, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Kingdom Advisor. You can learn more about her firm, Wealth Squared, at wealthsq.com. That's wealthsq.com. All right, we're back with your questions after this. 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back after this break.
Tired of campaign ads, candidate rhetoric, and a mailbox full of flyers? Are you thinking of sitting out this election? Don't do it. As Christians, it's our responsibility to be salt and light. How can we influence our nation for godly values if we don't make our voices heard? Show your support for candidates who share our biblical values by voting wisely. Use iVoterGuide.com as a free tool to help you identify those candidates. Be a good steward of your vote on November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Liberals are determined to fight any legislation that protects election integrity. That's why the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act has been added to a continuing resolution spending bill. The SAVE Act will make sure only American citizens can vote. States will have to remove non-citizens from their lists of voters. Please take time today to urge your representative to support the addition of the SAVE Act to any continuing resolution bill. Time is of the essence, so visit afa.net today.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. What a great opening topic today, money and marriage. You want to talk about what's going on in your life and marriage related to money? Let's talk about that today, but we're also open to any financial question that you have. The lines are nearly full, but I've got room for perhaps one more at the moment, 800-525-7000. You know, my good friend, Dr. Shanti Feldhahn, says that as she and her husband, Jeff, by the way, she's a Harvard graduate and researcher. She has dedicated her life to writing and speaking on a number of topics, but one of those is money and marriage. Her book with her husband, Jeff, is really just a foundational work on this called Thriving in Love and Money. And what she discovered in her research was there's really three keys to overcoming conflict in marriage around money. Number one was to have understanding. And that just simply means God has wired you differently. You have different backgrounds. Money was handled differently. It was modeled in terms of the handling of money differently growing up. You bring that into the marriage relationship, understanding those differences and how they inform how each of you handle money on your own is critical to being able to foster unity and work together in managing God's money. Number two, communication. It's what Rachel talked about today. We've got to be communicating regularly about money. And then number three, and this one's interesting, is margin or cushion. You see, what Shanti and Jeff found in their study was that it's not a matter of the income that you have to overcome conflict in marriage around money. It really comes down to the fact that you're living on less than your income. That cushion present at any level of income was key to being able to foster unity and overcome the conflict that so often exists in marriage around money. So just think about those today. Perhaps one or more of those are areas you need to go to work on in your own marriage related to the money conversation. All right, let's turn the corner here. We're going to dive into your questions here in just a moment. However, in the news today, first, the Federal Reserve's lowering of interest rates by a half a point has folks thinking again about refinancing home and auto loans. There's a great deal of pent-up demand to refinance. A survey of 2,000 adults by NerdWallet in July found that 18% of them plan to refinance when rates go down. However, many analysts are saying we're still a long way from it making financial sense to refinance. Mortgage rates, for example, aren't determined solely by the Federal Reserve's policy. Treasury yields and the economy also impact mortgage interest rates. So if you financed a home in the last couple of years and you're wanting to refinance, when should you do it? Well, opinions vary on this. Some say if you can get a rate that's at least a point lower, go ahead. Others say wait until you can get to a point and a half or even 2 points lower. I think the key is making sure you're planning to stay in that home for at least 5 to 7 years. And here's why. The cost of refinancing, which can run 2, 3, 4% of the loan value, is significant. And that's going to eat away at the savings you're going to realize through that lower rate. So if you don't have a number of years to realize the savings that comes from the lower interest rate, you're essentially perhaps going to come out even, or maybe even not even come out ahead because of, again, that upfront cost of the refi. If you're not in the home long enough to enjoy that lower interest rate, it really negates the benefit. So just keep that in mind as you think about this, because there is a real cost to this. So if you don't plan on staying in that house, don't even consider refinancing. If you do, that's where we really want to see that 1 to 2 point drop in the interest rates. We're probably still a bit of the ways off from seeing a 5 handle on mortgage rates. Perhaps later into the year in 25, we may get into the 5, certainly not toward the lower 5s until probably at least a year from now. We'll certainly keep an eye on that. The Fed has promised to be somewhat aggressive in bringing interest rates down, but a lot of that just remains to be seen with regard to the economy and inflation. So hopefully that helps you. All right, let's dive into some questions today. We've got a bunch of them waiting. Let's go to Wyoming to begin with. Hi, Carol. Go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering if you'd heard of the Christian-based investment firm called Inspire.
I have. Yeah. So Inspire is absolutely one of the about 15 fund families that we track that are specifically dedicated to the faith-based investing space. Each of them kind of have their own approaches to faith-based investing. They're known for different kind of aspects of faith-based investing. I would say Inspire is most known for two things. Number one is the avoid side of faith-based investing, where they're very focused on screening out companies that might be misaligned with your values. The second thing they're very well known for is the engagement side. They're very active in corporate engagement, expressing Christian values to company leadership. They've also introduced something pretty interesting recently, which is a very low-cost faith-based index. So essentially, it takes one of the passive market indexes like the S&P 500, removes the companies that would be misaligned with Christian values, and then turns around and offers essentially kind of a Christian screened version of that index, but at a very low cost. So I believe their latest one is like 9 basis points. So that's less than 0.1% a year, because it's passive. They're not picking the investments. They're just mirroring the index minus the companies that would be misaligned with Christian values. But yes, a very legitimate company and one of the players in this faith-based investing space.
Hey, would you think that they're better than, for instance, Guidestone?
No, not necessarily. So Guidestone would be another great one. Timothy would be a great one. Eventide is another kind of well-known brand in this space. I would say Inspire, Guidestone, Timothy, Eventide would all be worth looking at. I think the key is, what are you looking for? So Guidestone, has a great product. They do screening for Christian values. They also have an impact offering as well, which is where instead of focusing on just screening out, they're also looking on what companies are we screening in, because they're promoting human flourishing. So I wouldn't say one is better than the other, Carol. I would look at both, and perhaps as a part of a well-diversified portfolio, you have both at the same time in a portfolio that's specifically aligned with your Christian values. Thanks for your call. Back with more after this.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Are you overwhelmed by financial fear and anxiety? You're not alone. At FaithFi, we hear it every day. People weighed down by worries related to wealth and money. But financial anxiety isn't about the size of your bank account. It's about the condition of your heart. That's why we've created Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional that'll help you find peace through Jesus' teachings. Replace your financial anxiety with peace today. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and start your journey today.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. I've got two lines open, perhaps one for your question today. You can call right now. Let's go to Texas and welcome Maggie to the broadcast. Go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me, Bob?
I sure can. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. I'm on the app. Well, I just...
You know what? It's actually a little distorted, Maggie. Are you on a speakerphone by chance? Let's see if we can maybe get to another...
Yes, because that's the only way I can hear the person I'm talking to. It's just this phone has that problem. Would it help if I'm indoors by a fan? Should I step outside where there's no fan?
We can give that a shot. Let's do this. I'm going to put you on hold. I'll have Devin, my producer, work with you and see if we can get a more clear signal there. Let's go to South Carolina. Maggie, we'll come back to you here in just a moment. I absolutely want to get you on the air. Tony, go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for your call.
Yes, thank God. I was calling because I'm not married right now. One day I would like to be, but I had got myself in a little bit of debt, and it's about over $5,000, and I want to know, should I take a debt consolidation loan?
Yeah, Tony. You know, when we get into debt like that, we certainly want to find the best way out. The starting point, Tony, is for you to go back to that spending plan and just make sure you've got a budget that's dialed in where you're living on less than you're earning. That means you need to have a plan. That means we need to identify all of your spending categories, both those that you get a bill for and those that you don't. We call those discretionary. So example of something you get a bill for is your mortgage or your electric bill. Those things you don't would be eating out or clothing or entertainment, you know, those types of things. You want to get everything in the budget, not just the things you get a bill for, and then go to work to figure out, how do I rein in my spending? Now, this debt that you have may have come from some isolated, unforeseen event that was out of your control, but the extent to which it was because of just lifestyle spending beyond your means, we've got to rein that in as a starting point so that we don't find ourselves back in this position. Now, to your primary question, and that is, how is the best way to go about paying it off? That's where I don't like the consolidation loan. I prefer something called debt management. Let me explain why. Debt consolidation is where you take out a new loan, hopefully at a lower interest rate, pay off the other loan, and then pay it back to the new lender. The reason I don't like that is, number one, there's usually a cost to take out that new loan, an upfront charge. Number two is, even if the interest rate comes down, oftentimes the payback period is longer. And number three, it tends to take the pressure off because we're looking at it and we're saying, well, it's at, you know, 11%. I was at 20%. So I don't really need to be focused on getting this paid off. And it just results in you not having the same level of urgency. So my experience, Tony, is that debt management is far preferable. And here's how that works. You basically leave the debt right where it is, but through debt management, each creditor has a debt management interest rate that's generally significantly lower than their prevailing rate. So the prevailing rates today, the average interest rate on a credit card in the United States today is 20% or more. The average debt management interest rate for those same creditors is between 0 and 8%, might go as high as 12%. So what happens is you work through a nonprofit debt management agency. We recommend Christian Credit Counselors. They'll get you in the program. You leave the debt right where it is. The rate gets dropped to the credit counseling rate. You pay one monthly payment through them, probably very similar to the payment you're making now, probably about 3% of the balance. So if you've got $5,000 in credit card debt, you're probably going to pay about $150 a month. You can pay more. That's just the minimum. But the combination of that level monthly payment, the same every month, plus the reduction in interest rates is going to help you to get this paid off about 80% faster. And we've had thousands of our listeners, Tony, go through this program, and they just rave about it. So what I would do as a next step is go to ChristianCreditCounselors.org, and they can help you get set up. But does that make sense?
Yes, sir. And I'm writing everything down.
All right. ChristianCreditCounselors.org, and we will hopefully get you squared away. Here's my request to you. Once you get this paid off, call me back and tell me about it. We actually had a sweet lady yesterday, she and her husband in their 70s. They were calling to celebrate the fact they paid off their credit card debt in full last July, just a couple of months ago, through Christian Credit Counselors. It was years before they expected to do it, and they were so excited. And I suspect we're going to have a similar testimony from you here before too long. Lord bless you, sir. Thanks for calling today. By the way, folks, I know we've got some kind of scratchiness in the phone lines today. The team is working on that, if you'll just bear with us. But we still want to get these questions on, so we'll go right back to the phones. We'll stay in South Carolina. Tawana, how can I help you?
Hey, Rob.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am. How can I serve you?
I have a question concerning insurance. I'm a 56-year-old, recently retired, and I want to know, do I get whole life or do I get term life insurance, and how do I decide how much?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I might even throw out a third option, Tawana, and that is, now that you're retired, do you need life insurance? And so here's the idea behind that third question, is the purpose of life insurance is, as a steward of God's money, to offset a risk that exists if you were to pass away and you have loved ones counting on your income. And by you passing away and going home to be with the Lord, that income goes away, and then you've got a spouse that was depending on that income, or you've got minor children or lifelong dependents that were counting on that income, and that income's gone, so it creates a hardship for your loved ones. But typically, when we get to retirement, that no longer exists, because if something were to happen to you, it doesn't affect the income source because you're no longer working. And the retirement assets you've accumulated, whether that's Social Security plus maybe a pension or a 401k, hopefully is going to continue. And if you have loved ones who are counting on you, you know, they may still have access to those funds. So let's start there. And let me just ask, is there a need for life insurance?
Well, the thing is, I do have, I retired before I really needed, before I wanted to. It was more so of a need. And
okay.
So I do still have a couple of credit cards, and I still have years left on my mortgage as well as a car note. So I'm thinking I probably do need some type of insurance, something less. I have about $200,000 of equity on my house. No 401ks or no other investment. and one rental property that should bring in about $2,000 a month. So I feel like I may need something.
Okay, but let me just push back on that respectfully a little bit, and let's talk more about it. Why is that? Because if you were to pass away, the car is sold and the note's paid off. The house is sold and it's paid off. You got a couple of $100,000 in equity that's going to be available. You've got a rental property that's an asset that either could be held by an heir and continue to generate income, or it could be sold. So there's really not a need for life insurance because all these assets are going to be liquidated. The debts are going to be paid, and there's still going to be money left. So why the life insurance at that point?
I mean, I'm married now, so I have a spouse. So I don't think we're going to sell the house. He'll stay in it.
Okay, right. And so then the question is, what income sources does he have, and are those going to be affected by your passing? Let's do this. You and I talk a bit more off the air, because I've got to hit this break, and we'll be right back on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Stick around.
This weekend, we'll talk with Dr. Calvin Beisner of the Cornwall Alliance about the climate change movement and the departure from traditional science.
People are saying, look, it just doesn't matter that the models are overprojecting. Eventually, it's going to come to bite us. And there, I think what they've done is they've just abandoned scientific method completely, and they've gone instead to fear.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We're also looking forward to hopefully chatting with Jerry Boyer here in a few moments to get his take on the markets and the economy. Before we do that, though, let's head to Georgia and talk to Trey. Trey, I understand you called yesterday. I don't think we were able to get to your question. So how can we serve you?
Yes, sir. Thank you, and your professional as well as patient screener for her assistance. I am disabled, and I have long-term disability insurance through Unum through my job. And I received an email informing me that I will no longer be receiving benefits after November because I will be turning 65 years old in December. I reached out to Social Security Disability as well because I have disability through them as well, and asked them what they're going to counsel me as well, and they said no. And my question is there anything I can say to Unum to insist they reconsider discontinuing my benefits?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'm not sure why your disability benefits would end. Do you think possibly what they meant is that some part of your medical coverage would end because you're reaching age 65 and then would be eligible to collect Medicare? Your Social Security benefits won't end, but they convert automatically to your retirement benefits when you reach full retirement age. That would be 67. but that won't affect the amount of your benefits, and the process really should be seamless. You just convert right over to the retirement benefits at that point. You don't even have to apply. So I'd probably dig into this a bit further, but let me ask, do you think they may have been talking about Medicare?
No, because I have that through the Social Security benefits, if that's what you're saying. And she did mention when I called in, when I finally reached somebody, that no, it's because you'll be turning 65 years old and that's retirement. So that's when I called Social Security and they said, no, that's not retirement through us. They didn't know what Unum was talking about.
Yeah, and I don't either. So I think maybe we ought to ask for that person's supervisor or something to see if we can get a little more information, because those disability benefits shouldn't end. You know, the only thing that, you know, perhaps again would end would be the Medicare eligibility at 65. But you know, you can delay that if you've got employment with coverage. So, you know, I would kind of challenge that and just say, my understanding is these should continue until I automatically convert to retirement benefits at full retirement age. But that's not 65. That's going to be closer to 67.
Yes, you know, and of course, once again, you know, Unum is the, like I said, Unum is the insurance that I have through the job. And I've been off for a while now, and they just came up with this, and I don't know why.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I would reach back out to them and tell them you're getting conflicting advice. You need to know a bit more about why these benefits are ending. You don't quite understand, and see if you can get somebody else who might give you a further explanation. Hopefully, what they're sharing with you is an error. But I appreciate your call, Trey. I'm sorry I don't have a definitive answer on that, but I think that one absolutely is worth exploring a bit further. Thanks for your call today, sir. Let's go to North Carolina. Hi, Joyce. How can I serve you?
Yes, I'm 79 years old, and my husband passed away in 2016. And I'm getting calls now that I owe taxes. One was from Florida, and the other one was from Oregon and said a tax solution center.
Yes,
I would
ignore these, Joyce. Yeah, I'm so sorry. This can be so confusing. They're likely scams. If you have a tax, if you're current on your tax filings, and the IRS believes that you've underpaid or there's some sort of tax issue, they'll notify you in writing, never over the phone. So you don't want to give your personal information to someone contacting you this way. And I would probably just ignore it altogether. I get calls all the time from people saying, you know, you qualify for a program for back taxes. And basically, they're just looking to initiate a response with you, you know, for you to respond in some way to what they're offering. It may be fraudulent. It may be, you know, just some sort of way to get you to, you know, pay for a service of some kind because you're, you know, they say you're going to be able to collect, or there's some issue that they need to help you with, and then you're going to have to give them your personal information, and then they're going to use that against you. So I would just ignore that, Joyce, and just be confident in the fact that if there is some sort of problem, the IRS is absolutely going to notify you, and they're going to do it in writing, not over the phone.
Okay, well, I know we're not supposed to have fear because the Lord, that's not of His.
That's right.
But I'm a little scared because all I have is my car and whatever I have in the bank. But
well, let me just reassure you, these companies would have no knowledge of an issue that the IRS has. And so the fact that these are third parties, there is nothing that they would know that the IRS doesn't. And if the IRS knows something, they're going to be in touch with you. I can promise you that. You're going to get a letter in the mail, and they're going to tell you that they, you know, believe you owe more taxes or you haven't filed a return or something like that. So these third parties claiming whatever it is they're claiming that you need to respond to, I would not have any concern over that whatsoever, Joyce. These happen all the time. I get them all the time, and I ignore them because they are not legitimate. And so you don't have to worry about that. The Lord's got you here. I want to do this. We've got a brand new resource that we just came out with at FaithFi. It's called Look at the Sparrows, and it's a 21-day devotional on financial fear and anxiety. And every day there's a passage of scripture, and a devotional that's a quick read that I think will refocus you back on the Lord as your provider and help you to replace that fear with faith and trust in God as your provider and His promises, and help you to refocus not on your present circumstances, but an eternal perspective. Would you mind if I send that to you as our gift?
Oh, no, I'd appreciate it. I listened to AFR from the morning till night for years now.
Well, I know that's an encouragement as well. So you keep that up, renewing your mind with God's word and being encouraged with the great teaching and everything, all the programming here at AFR is absolutely what you need. It's an opportunity to turn down the noise of the world and turn up God's voice. And that's what we need to do in a season like this. Well, here's what I'd like to do. You stay on the line, and Sandy will get your mailing address, and we're going to put a copy of Look at the Sparrows in the mail to you. It's a beautiful new 21-day devotion. It'll be a great way for you to start the day just by renewing your mind in God's Word and refocusing on the fact that we can replace all of that fear with faith, because those what-if questions are, one of Satan's biggest, weapons against us, because it leads us right down the road to fear, and fear is a spiritual trap because it takes our eyes off the goodness of God and places them on our present circumstances. And what we need to do, and I'm saying this, not, it's easier said than done, and that's why I think this devotion will be an encouragement to you. What we need to do is get our eyes off our present circumstances and back on Him as our provider and sustainer. He has promised He will never leave you or forsake you, Joyce. He's right there with you and sending your Holy Spirit to empower you. So I'm going to send you this book, and I hope it'll be a real blessing to you, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Lord bless you. And you stay on the line, Joyce, and we'll get your information and get that right out to you. Let's pray for Joyce. Father, we just pray that you would be near to Joyce. Pray that she would just sense your Holy Spirit, that you would equip her with not a spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind, and that you would just equip her to navigate the days she has and the calling you have on her life in this season. That you would give her a clear vision for how you would have her serve you and partner with you in the things that you're doing, and that you'd give her joy in her heart and peace that passes all understanding. And so we just pray that in Jesus' name today for Joyce, as we agree together as the AFR family, in Christ's name, amen. Joyce, God bless you. Thanks for your call today. Well, folks, what a treat to be with you today. I'm so thankful for your calls and your questions, inviting us into your lives in this area that, is often difficult. I mean, the money conversation is one of those issues and areas that often we like to kind of keep at a distance. We don't talk about it as much as we should. Often there's a lot of confusion around it. In some cases, we're embarrassed or ashamed of decisions we've made in the past. And yet, you know what? We serve a God who's in the business of restoration. We can leave all of these issues, including these money issues, at the foot of the cross. I think it was Luther that said there's three conversions: the mind, the heart, and the purse, or the wallet. You know, it's this idea that, we can surrender everything to Him, but often we will hold our money, God's money, is really what it is, out of the water metaphorically, as we're kind of surrendering everything to Him and saying, you know what, Lord, you can have everything, but I got this. You know, that's mine. I'm making my money. I need to keep my money. That's going to give me security. And it's just not true. It's a lie from the devil. And it all belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, God's word says. And so it's all His. So we then are put in this position of being called to stewards or managers of the King of Kings resources. Well, that's a high calling. Now, that's not something we should worry about or be fearful about, something we should celebrate and rejoice in, because when we see God as our ultimate treasure and money as a tool to accomplish His purposes, to enjoy and provide and give and invest according to His word, well, what a blessing that is. And that's the way God designed it. Money is a good gift. Remember, God's word doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. So it's only when it becomes the object of our affection, our devotion, that it becomes a problem in our lives. Hey, if you'd like to check out our new 21-day devotion, look at the sparrows, you have some financial fear or anxiety in your life, just head to faithfi.com/sparrows. While you're there, click the Give button. We'd love for you to partner with us here between now and the end of September to help us stay on budget as a listener-supported ministry. Any gift would go a long way. Big thanks to Sandy, Jim, Devin, and everybody here at FaithFi, and we'll see you next time. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.